This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Heron. Chapter 1, Phytolephus.
Damn it, Vel! Why do you never listen to me?
Eric's hands fell to his sides as he watched his brother tackle a writhing mass of black, inky goo. He could tell by the purposeful look on Vel's face that his statement had gone in one ear and out the other. He took a deep breath and forced himself to remain calm. Flaring up wouldn't help them trap the creature any faster, even though it had just showered the ground and them with a defensive burst of ink. Evan bounded forward, using his boot heels and knives to force the goo beast into submission, both of which just slid off the slick surface of the creature with little to no effect. The undulating mass slithered back and forth, evading the minuscule murk with ease.
Get! It's getting away!
It pulled itself along, using its spindly black tendrils to lurch toward the interdimensional vortex which they had been using to lure it out. Eric lurched forward, hoping to distract it or at least divert the creature's current course. Instead, the tip of one of his sandals looped around a curled tree root and he pitched towards the ground. He landed hard on his hands and knees, the pain nipping at his flesh. He was close enough to the creature now that he managed to latch onto a slimy tentacle.
Vel, get over here! I can't hold it!
It was like trying to keep a firm grasp on sentient gelatin. Vel climbed to his feet and scooped handfuls of goo from his face, flinging it to the ground with a flick of his wrists. He let out a petulant sigh and rushed over.
Do you have to keep yelling at me? I'm kind of getting tired of it.
He sunk his mechanical hand deep into the gooey mass until he found something solid to latch onto. There was a sizable bone at the very core, one of many the creature had absorbed in its need to create a functioning skeletal structure. He hauled back on the goo beast, halting it mere inches from the portal entrance.
Got it!
Eric rocked back, observing the damage to his bloodied knees. He let out a huff of embarrassment to see his palms were in a similar state.
I'm not yelling at you. We've been chasing this thing all over the realms.
He paused to push his glasses back up the bridge of his nose.
And you're not making it any easier. If you would just...
I'm not making it any easier.
Vel whipped his head around, avoiding one of the creature's many limbs to stare up at his brother.
How about the time you let it slime past you because it was too gooey for you to touch?
He ducked another flailing arm and nodded towards the tiny murk.
Or when Fumblefingers over there dropped the portal locker and changed the gateway.
Evan shot the cyborg a hurt look.
It was covered in slime! I couldn't hold on to it!
It took us weeks to catch back up to it after the last time you let it go!
Vel winced as a gooey appendage slammed into his left side. He used his free hand to vent some of his frustrations, pummeling the creature in an attempt to force it to settle.
So, please tell me again how I'm the one slowing you guys down!
The goo beast, enraged, retaliated by thrashing aimlessly, coating its captor in more of the foul black ichor.
You're right. Poor choice of words. But Evan and I had just finished setting a trap for it, and if you had paid any attention, you would have known that. You keep rushing in headfirst into things like a bull in a china shop.
Eric got to his feet, patting around his shorts for the portal locker. His face pulled into an expression of unease as he looked over at his brother.
We all want to get back home, and it would be nice if you'd let others help.
Vel spat out a mouthful of goo before returning his attention to the creature.
We've been hunting these things for the last 9 months, and all you can do is yell at me. We don't even know if this is the last of Alpha's minions.
He pummeled the creature a few more times with his free hand.
I just want to be done. I want to go home.
We're in this together!
Eric waved a hand down at the tiny murk at his side.
So, will you stop thinking of just yourself for once?
Vel's face contorted with rage, his fingers curling tight around the creature's would-be spine.
If I'm such a burden to you, then why did you bring me along in the first place?
He wrenched back with the full force of his cybernetic arm, venting his anger out on the monster that had kept him from his life of peace and quiet. The brittle bone shattered to dust between his mechanical digits, showering the area with a burst of inky tar. The monster wailed in agony, but it was finally free. With a single jerk of its body, it slithered around the wreathing vines and vanished into the swirling gate held within. Eric pulled his glasses off his face and looked around his shirt for an area not splattered with goo.
"Because you're my brother. Why wouldn't I?"
He brushed the lenses across a relatively clean patch of fabric before shoving them back on his face. Vel spat out another mouthful of tar.
"Or is it because you can't do anything by yourself and have been using me to clean up your messes since you were 8?
Eric pulled a face, opening his mouth to respond. Deciding now was not the time, he left his thoughts where they were. Evan scratched at his chin as he stared at the swirling vortex. He looked over his shoulder in time to see the cyborg roll his eyes.
"I don't know why you're in such a hurry to get back home. You said my granny destroyed what was left, so technically you don't have one to go back to."
Vel turned his head slowly in the direction of the small mercenary, who was nonchalantly describing the destruction his grandmother had wrought on Vel's own life. A muscle spasmed beneath his left eye.
"It's stuff like that,"
he let out a growl as he climbed to his feet,
"that makes me want to void your contract and leave you here."
You can't do that. Those contracts are binding. Besides, you promised Granny you would bring me back."
A smile pulled at Vel's mouth at the tone of panic in the kid's voice.
"Accidents happen."
Eric put a hand between the two, waving it around to get their attention.
"Will you stop fighting and listen?"
He flourished a small black cylinder and flipped open a panel. The numbers on the readout changed when he turned it in the direction of the swirling gate.
"The creature already has a decent head start, so we gotta work fast. I think I can lock the gateway, sealing it in. That way it can only return to this world, or stay stuck in a loop of infinite time and space."
Evan watched Vel's eyes glaze over and turned to Eric instead.
"If it can't weave, maybe we can reset the trap around the portal, so as when it comes out, it'll fall right into it."
"Exactly, and all we'd have to do is wait for it to return. I just have to find the right setting on the device."
Eric fidgeted with the portal locker, flipping switches and calibrating frequencies.
"The only problem is that we have no way of knowing if it worked from this side of the gate, and it's too dangerous to go in once I've found the setting. So..."
"No, shut up!"
Vel growled, swiping at some unseen annoyance.
"Hey!"
Eric's brow furrowed as he looked over at his brother.
"I know it's not the best plan, but it's a plan."
He paused to scratch behind his ear, finding a glob of ink there instead. He pulled his fingers away and flung the goo to the ground. Vel shook his head.
"It's too big of a margin for failure. We need to make sure that thing can't escape again, preferably with a more permanent solution."
He gave his brother a hearty slap on the shoulder with his mechanical hand.
"I don't want to spend another 9 months hopping from realm to realm, slowing you down."
He cocked a half-smile and, with a few short steps, launched himself into the portal. Eric let out an exclamation of hurt as he threw his hands up in defeat.
"Or we could just not listen to anyone else!"
His arms dropped to his sides as he glanced down at the merc beside him.
"Bull in a china shop it is!"
It didn't matter how many gates and portals they had been through or how many times they were forced to suddenly hop through one to another dimension. It was still difficult to get used to the sensation. Each one was different, and nearly all of them were unpleasant. This one in particular felt as though they were being compressed through a straw. The air sucked tight around them in a partial vacuum. The portal machine, despite having been carefully redesigned and each working mechanism examined, wasn't built for this purpose. It was originally meant to be used as a sort of beacon in order to get them home. But with some tools and a little ingenuity, Eric had discovered he was able to alter the destination and even the integrity of interdimensional gateways. He had only experienced one instance of closing a portal between two realms, and hoped that would be sufficient enough knowledge to not kill them all if the tunnel walls collapsed around them. Closing off the ends of a wormhole while inside it was uncharted territory, even for him. Eric shook away his doubts as he felt Evan latch onto his leg just above his ankle. He could see his brother fighting with the goo creature some ways ahead of them. Between punches, the creature was propelling itself along the sparking walls of reality, aiming for the exit. Eric examined the device in his hands, and, after a hasty whisper of a prayer, flipped a switch. The glowing light of the swirling vortex shuddered as the exit up ahead slammed shut, sending rippling shockwaves through the walls around them. Eric watched the goo creature plow headlong into the now solid barrier with a sickening squelch. He dragged a hand down along his face and breathed out a small sigh of relief. Evan pushed himself out to arm's length.
I can't believe that worked!
The momentum of the tunnel appeared to have stopped, causing them to float in a state of limbo. It wasn't the same as weightlessness, but rather as if gravity was pulling them equally in every direction at once. The goo beast managed to turn itself around, opening all of its maws in a silent scream. This abomination, like all others of its kind, was compiled of dozens of other animals to create its form. Because they didn't know what they were supposed to be, it had too many eyes, too many mouths, and far too many limbs, all of which were now reaching for the cyborg. Evan jerked a thumb towards Vel.
He's got this, right?
Eric looked up from his device in time to see the creature latch itself onto his brother. With no real way to navigate the stagnant state of the vortex, he was forced to watch as the two were slammed into the sparking walls. A thunderous clap of electricity crackled outward, sending up all the hairs on his body. Vel managed to pull himself free, and he and the creature were drifting through the nothing again, struggling to keep the thing from biting his face off. He could see his brother and the pint-sized merc floating uselessly behind him.
We have it trapped! So what now?
Eric let out a huff of disbelief as he shrugged.
Nah, we weren't supposed to be in here when I locked the portal. You added that part of the plan when you didn't listen to me.
He swung his arms forward, attempting to swim towards his brother. It was slow and felt almost fruitless, but he was gaining some distance.
You sound like a broken record,
Vel cursed under his breath as he shoved a knee into the creature's middle. He used his momentum to pivot the thing around and drove it hard against the walls of the vortex. A horrible sound overtook the crackling electricity as the creature wailed in agony. It bared its thousands of teeth at the cyborg as bolts of light and time shot out around and through them. The beast was acting as a conduit, sending wave after wave of painful electricity through itself and into Vel. He grit his teeth and doubled down on the pressure, forcing the creature deeper into the wall. Eric watched as the thin membrane that separated them between reality and empty space cut into the monster, slicing chunks of goo and bone until it could no longer hold itself together. The fragile fabric of the portal began to fray beneath the continued assaults.
Bad idea!
A seam split, pulling open a sizable tear.
Bad idea!
He returned his attention to the portal machine, still in hand, and began to undo the locks in an attempt to reopen the other end of the gate. Vel ignored the warning and pushed harder against the monster. The creature was almost dead, but the gap in the fabric of reality was only growing larger. Trepidation overtook him as the tear began to encompass the creature as it spread. They were sinking into the void beyond the vortex. Eric could see panic set in on his brother as he finally managed to undo the lock, and the door at the other end swung open. He tried to cry out to Vel, pleading with him to get away from the creature, but the sudden rush of momentum tore the very air from his lungs and killed the words in his throat. His hands swung out wildly as he propelled himself forward, fighting against the pull of the portal. The beast gave a final snap of one of its many maws, enveloping Vel's arm in a thick layer of tar. A dark smile pulled at the main mouth of the creature as it continued to add more and more goo, trapping the cyborg's arm deeper within itself, pulling him down into the nothingness. Eric flung out a hand, his fingers stretched, reaching for his brother. Their fingertips grazed against one another as he watched Vel struggle to pull himself free, confused and wide-eyed, before the entire portal unraveled and they were torn apart as though in the grasp of a tornado. Eric's body accelerated, the tiny merc still clutched tight against his ankle. Their molecules twisted and stretched, smashed and reformed as they careened through the collapsing remnants of a wormhole. Then there was a pop, a blinding white light, and they were back to normal, albeit free-falling through a starry night sky. Then the ground came up to greet them. Everything hurt. Even as Eric lay there, muscles he didn't even know he had twitched and spasmed in agony. He could feel the bruises forming all the way down to his bones, and a high-pitched whine rang in his ears like the buzzing of an insect. He remained there, fixed by the pain, staring up at the path of their descent. At the sound of a tiny grunt somewhere near his feet, he was reminded Evan had been latched onto his foot, and apparently survived the fall as well. A survival in part thanks to the several dozen or so tree branches they had collided with on their way down. The green canopy above him was bathed in the darkness of night, stars winking at him through the foliage. Eric could see the last vestiges of the portal flicker out and die, and he sighed. He hated aerial portals, and after their first encounter, had tweaked the portal locker to avoid such elevated points. But it became apparent that all bets were off when some idiot rips a hole in reality while traversing one. They would have to find a different way off this world. Eric nudged the small merc with his foot.
You alive?
Unfortunately.
Evan slowly climbed to his feet with a series of groans and popping joints.
Ugh. Where are we?
No idea. I didn't have time to set a destination on the portal locker. I just opened an exit so we wouldn't all die.
Eric pushed himself up to a sitting position, looking around as he did. They were surrounded by a dense population of trees and rocks. Moss hung from branches and clung to almost every surface. Small gatherings of fungi grew in the shadows of many of the trees and boulders, and the air smelled of damp wood and earth. Eric slumped back down.
Oh, yay! Wilderness! My favorite!
Quit your gwiping!
Evan spun on the spot, taking better stock of their surroundings.
We've landed in worse spots, and you know it!
Eric crawled into a sitting position. It was a fair point. At least nothing seemed to be trying to kill them outright this time. And they were on land, rather in the middle of an ocean.
Whatever. Did you see where Vel landed?
Nah, I was too busy trying not to die. Besides...
Evan stooped and picked something off the ground, tossing it to Eric.
We have bigger problems.
Eric caught what appeared to be his portal device, or rather, half of his portal device, charred and partially melted around the edges. He felt his stomach constrict, and his heart began to race. Without a functioning device, finding a way off this realm would be that much more difficult. He let out a long sigh.
Do you see the other half anywhere?
Together, they began scouring the ground and brush. Evan, despite his size, covered far more distance as his eyes were better suited to the dim light, one of the perks of growing up in a subterranean city. After half an hour or so of looking, just as Eric was ready to call it quits, the tiny merc tugged against the hem of his shorts to get his attention, whispering up to him,
"You smell that? There's someone nearby."
Eric shot the kid an incredulous look.
How am I supposed to smell if someone is nearby?
When the boy didn't answer, he rolled his eyes and took in a deep breath through his nose, sniffing the air. At first, he noticed nothing except for the pungent smell of forest. But then he caught the slightest hint of something different. Indeed, the chill of the night air carried with it a waft of something out of place. It was earthy yet dry, and sharp without being unpleasant.
Is that a campfire?
Evan nodded.
Not too far away, either. Think it might be Vel?
Eric simultaneously relaxed and soured at the thought. He was happy his brother was okay, but he really wasn't looking forward to another lecture. He gave a half-hearted wave.
Probably. Lead the way.
Nestled in a small clearing some distance away, they found the campfire. It was flickering happily, crackling and giving off a pleasant smell of burning wood. But it was all wrong. There was no fuel source for the fire, and it was floating several inches above the circle of rocks, a burning ball of purple flame hovering in midair.
That's not right.
The absurdity of it irked Eric, and he strode into the middle of the camp to investigate the source of the anomaly. Evan tried to hold him back, but at one-third the man's height, it was a fruitless effort that succeeded only in him dragging tiny trenches in the dirt with his boot heels. Eric knelt down on his already tender knees, his attention locked fully on the fire. He lowered his head until he could see beneath the ball of flame.
I mean, the purple just indicates the presence of potassium in the fuel source, but why is it hovering?
He swiped his hand quickly beneath the fire, only to find a lack of heat or any sort of unseen pedestal. Fire wasn't supposed to behave that way. Evan grabbed a hold of the collar of Eric's Hawaiian shirt and tugged furiously, whispering in a panicked frequency only dogs could understand. Oblivious, Eric pulled out a small notebook and pencil from his back pocket and began scribbling notes.
No apparent base. No heat underneath. Perhaps potassium and water suspended using paramagnetic levitation? Or maybe... What?
He spun on the tiny mark, the constant tugging finally breaking his concentration. Evan was pointing wide-eyed at something near the edge of the ring of firelight. Eric followed the direction of the boy's gesture. What he had assumed was a large pile of moss-covered boulders was actually a massive, shaggy bear. It was large as a van and covered in old battle scars. Its matted fur was thick with moss and brambles, and beneath the heavy brow, tiny beetle-black eyes were locked with theirs, reflecting the flickering purple of the flames like tiny embers of hellfire. It slowly pushed itself up, a low growl rumbling out from its chest like an earthquake. Evan heard a tiny squeak and felt Eric try to hide behind him. Figured they'd blunder into probably the only bear for 100 miles. He lowered his hands, his fingers tickling the bolsters of his knives. Now he knew what Vel must always feel like.
Damn it!
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
Oh my god, I am so bored.
Okay, so let's go over this one more time. Good idea.
What the heck are those two
doing? It's lured here by the portal and steps into the kill zone, where we have a rudimentary pitfall trap covered with leaves. Wait.
A pit? Seriously?
At the bottom of the pit is a pressure plate, which strikes the flint and lights the rope on fire. Check. The rope snaps, releasing the boulder, which rolls down the ramp, triggering the flaming arrow, and
eventually
knocking
over
the barrel full of rusty nails on top of it. Sounds good so far. Then the flaming arrows hit the hornet's nest, dropping it into a cave full of angry bears, forcing them out, where the first thing they see...
This is never going to work.
This plan seemed a little complex, don't you think? Are you kidding
me? Oh, crap. There it is. Screw it. I'm doing this my way. There it is. Charge!
As if Vel gets to it first.
Aw, man. And I spent so much time getting the spinning saw of death just right.